Hallelujah. Good morning, Hillside. Great to see you. Happy Labor's Day weekend. Isn't it wonderful to be together today? And we are just so blessed and anointed. I had to remind myself, you know, you might have noticed I'm not 25 years old anymore. So that worship was so wonderful. I was just had to control myself to make sure that I had energy to do another 35 minutes, okay? So just bear with me. These things happen. Just, you know, if you'll find out in time, growing old takes time. Okay, so hang in there, guys. But bless you, you look wonderful. I just want to say that being together is just such a wonderful thing. Today, I'm going to share with you about better together. That is going to be the essence of what we're looking at. But before we do, let's just pray. We can never get enough prayer. Father, we thank you and we bless you today. We just thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Great is your faithfulness, Father. You'll never leave us, neither will you forsake us. But Father, you hang in with us everywhere that we go. Lord, you are with us. You said you will be with us always, even unto the end of the age. So Father, we thank you that during these troublesome times, you are there with us. You have a great future ahead for us. Our best days are ahead, Lord. We look forward to that. And right now, we thank you for your comfort and your love. And so, Father, we thank you for this great nation that we are part of. We thank you that it's great because you are great and we are under God. So, Father, we thank you. And we can just rest in that. We thank you that your hand is upon us and that you are working through our lives to bring glory to the precious name of Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that you'll just anoint these words today. Take them above and beyond as they are spoken. Take them to the hearts of the people that we might receive your blessing as we walk in your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, bless you all. I want to welcome those that are online as well. We thank you that you are part of what is happening here this morning. Thank you just for checking in and being part of the body of Christ today. Just want to start with a thought. I heard my son account one day, and it just kind of struck me because I'd never thought of it this way. He was working at that time, and he was speaking to one of his fellow employees and said to they were talking about the Lord, and this person said, "Wow, I really don't want to be part of organized religion." And you know, I can understand that, but what Pastor Paul said was quite insightful. He said, "What would you rather be part of, disorganized religion?" Actually, the fact is that we don't want to be part of religion at all. We want to be part of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? But the fact is that when people are working together, we can't all be going in different directions. Actually, you know, the Word of God speaks about the church as the body of Christ. Could you imagine showing up at work and you left your head behind? You might think that some people have done that, but actually you can't function well if you don't have every part of the body functioning. As you grow older, you'll appreciate that more, okay? Just believe me and hang in. But I wanted to say this. God did not bring us into a body and say to us, okay, go out there and do it alone. His promise, first of all, was that he would be with us, right? So we're not in this alone. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. You might have heard that before. But I just want to emphasize that today. And I'd like to turn to our first scripture this morning. And that is way back in Genesis chapter 1, and it'll be coming up on the screen. And it is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And God had created man, and he said this. He had looked at his creation and said, it is good. But then he noticed an aberration. And he said, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God saw that man was alone. God knew, as he made man, that it was not good for him to be alone. In fact, we've seen there are a lot of things that we've experienced during this time of COVID that we've realized a lot of people are lonely. We've seen an increase in mental illnesses. We've seen an influence in stress. How many of you have not felt stress through this COVID? You know, putting on the mask, staying at home, having a child at home that is now bored because they're at home alone. God did not create us to be alone. God wants us to have a helpmeet. Now, I'm not just talking about marriage here. So if you've heard that scripture in a wedding ceremony, I want you to just think in terms of relationship this morning, because there is power in relationship. There is a wonderful power in our relationship with God. So we are really what we would call gregarious. We like to hang, right? We like to get together. We'll do different things together, but we like to be together as a group. Think about two sitcoms here. Some of you might be a little too young to remember, but you probably watched the reruns and binged on them. Do anybody remember Cheers? Okay. What was the great thing? Everybody knew your name. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's not good, okay? But Cheers, people loved that because, you know, it was set there, probably not a place that we hang out in a lot, but it was set in a bar, but everybody was there and everybody got along in some way or another, but there was a sense of camaraderie. What about Friends? Okay, also set in somebody's living room. You like that, right? I used to watch that. I got a great enjoyment, just the sense of friends, you know, that you had a friend, that you had somebody that knew you and would work with you and help you. And I think there's a lot of positive power in relationship. I want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I want to read something to you there as well. Don't you just love Ecclesiastes? This guy was like totally depressed, but he came up with some wonderful wisdom. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, he was talking about two people. And again, try to release yourself from the concept of just marriage, because we have relationships in our normal life which are not marriage relationships, but they are close relationships. There's power in that. In fact, if you think of David and Jonathan, they actually tied covenant together. They had a relationship, and there was a great strength that flowed from that relationship. Now, I know the Bible talks about the fact that they loved one another, but understand that we have not heard all the correct definitions of love. The love that they had for one another had nothing to do with the fact that the other one thought the other one looked good, or, hey, what can you do for me? There was a certain amount of that, but remember, it was covenant love. Covenant love is the highest form of love that you can have. That is the love that God has for us. So I want you to see this in the context of that, that yes, we can have relationships and they can be loving relationships, but we as the body of Christ are covenanted together in love through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the blood that tied the covenant that we have together. It's not a contract. It's actually a covenant. It's a till death us do part. And we know that we never die, so we'll always be with Jesus, right? Isn't that great? Okay, moving on. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, It says, having moved from it is not good to two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. I like that. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. I'll tell you a little secret. Because I have actually learned some things getting a little older, and I don't want to harp on that, but we're all going that direction. You talk about falling over. I used to love yard work. One day, I was out in the yard. I bent down to pull a weed. And as I bent down, I kept bending. And I kept bending. And I just kept bending. Okay? So I know about falling over. Sometimes, not everything adjusts correctly. And, you know, for some people, if you fall over, that can be a dangerous thing. I had to learn how to stand up on my own because I had got used to holding on to furniture or whatever I could grab at that time. But I thought, hey, man, this is not good. I want to be able to stand up. But fortunately, I have people to help me. And, you know, I know it might sound a little funny or whatever, but genuinely in life, when you have somebody to help you when you fall down, that is a great thing. And you know there are other people around you. There's power in that. There's tremendous power in that. Look at some of the other benefits. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. And how can one keep warm alone? You ever got into bed? Hopefully with your spouse, right? And as you get in, you've just got your side nice and warm and cozy, and then you feel these wet fish creeping over towards you, okay? And, oh, I'm so cold, I just want to get warm. And you just about jump out of bed, but there's a warmth that flows. And soon those little wet fish have turned into nice, glowing, warm feet. And you know, again, it's really just a picture of the body of Christ. Because there are times when we really feel cold. But we have somebody that is there, that can reach out to us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, transmit to us seriously a warmth and a glow into our lives that kind of warms us up. Another little illustration that I've used often in evangelism is you take a coal out of the fire, and this is genuine, folks, if you've been at a campfire, you take out a stick, put it on its own. It doesn't take long for that coal or that stick just to go cold, just to die out. But the rest of the fire holding together, there's a warmth and a glow and a power that is flowing from that fire. And such a blessing that God has brought us together and given us. We are so better together. How about this? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You and a friend and Jesus are three strands. That is not a cord that can easily be broken. In the body of Christ, we recognize the power that flows from being together, and we know that we are better together. In Deuteronomy, I'm not going to turn there. You've often heard this. One can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. There's something wrong in the arithmetic, because if one can chase 1,000, two should be able to chase 2,000. Duh. But do you see that there's an exponential multiplication, as it were, of power through relationship. So when there are two of you, you're chasing 10,000. When there's one of you, you're just chasing 1,000. You're standing alone and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to try. And so a lot of that, you force yourself into your own strength. Instead of recognizing that you and God are two people together and that you can stand with him and chase 10,000. And for me, that's far better than chasing 1,000. Now, I want to introduce you maybe to a little principle here. It took me a long time, but in our groups, Louise and I, we have been involved in small groups virtually from the day that I became a Christian, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. We've had a lot of influence from people. We've learned a lot of stuff from people. We've learned a lot of things just being together. Louise and I had a young family at that time. We had two little girls. Our son had not yet been born. But in those days, we had a small group in our home. When I say small, there were about 20 people. Okay, they packed the place out. And it was great. Just about everybody played an instrument. So there was me and this other lady, Dan Bull was her name. And Dan, she had a deep voice, so she and I sang bass, okay? But everybody was praising God. And folks, I'll tell you, those are glorious moments when you get a group of people together and you can talk about Jesus, you can sing and worship him, and it's as if time stands still. But I want to tell you, folks, there is such encouragement through small groups because it builds within you a strength. Because you recognize you don't have to face this world alone. Help is on the way. In fact, help is right there with you. But on this basis, if you take what we call the power of agreement, where Jesus said in Matthew, where two or three are gathered in my name, because he's dealing with agreement at that moment, if you read that text, in Matthew, he's talking about agreement. And he says, when there are two or three of you gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of you. In other words, whatever you agree on earth will be done in heaven. And therefore, whatever you pray and agreement and stand together according to God's word and his will be done. And that is a principle that God has taught us over time. Many was the time that Louise and I stood together. We held hands. We were praying over our children. We had some opportunities with our kids. I just want to say this to everybody, they turned out well. I praise God. I praise God because I'll tell you what, we had to rely on the Lord a lot. I'd never been a father before I was a father, so that was difficult. I thought to myself, you know, I'm not really a great, like, authoritarian guy. I don't carry a big stick and use it. I don't get in people's faces. I'm just a humble kind of guy, a humble giant, okay? So when I thought of having children, I thought, yeah, this guy's going to run all over me. I don't know. Am I going to know what to do? How am I going to be fair? Should I spank him every time? Is it always no? Or is it going to be yes sometimes? Well, fortunately, we had small groups. Along came Focus on the Family, Dr. Dobson. Our small group started to study those things. I started to learn how to be a dad. I got a couple of books on how to be a father. It doesn't just flow naturally. And if you want to be a good father for your children's sake, you need to get out there and get some help. And so we did. And God just led us through so many things. What a blessing to be with other brothers and sisters in Christ who were dealing with the same things and were able to impart information to us, especially word-based information. I think at one time before Dobson and Focus on the Family came in, there was just we used to call him Dr. Spook, but I think it was Dr. Spock, maybe a little bit before your time, but he had a handbook, How to Raise a Family, you know, and so you'd always run back to that. There were very many useful information that came out of that. But seriously, times that I had to get up in the night, Daddy, I'm scared. And I'm thinking back on my own times when I used to call that out. And I'm telling you, my heart just moved with compassion. I would get up, not always willingly, but I would go to my child, pacify them, show them that the ghosts and everything else that they were seeing were actually just branches blowing over the street lights. You know, that kind of thing. But that makes such a difference to a child's life. When you pray for your kids, as you've learned to pray, when you speak against the enemy in their lives and you come against them and you tell the enemy to take his hand off them, you'd be amazed at the changes of attitude that come when you address the enemy in their lives. Those are the things we learned in small group. We learned to walk as Christians in small group. Sure, coming together on a Sunday was great because we met all our buddies from small group. So we had a second dose. And then the preacher came, gave us some more teaching. We would go back sometimes, discuss that in small group. But can you see, folks, we were walking with the Lord. We were being discipled because Jesus was always in the midst of everything that we did as we came together. We weren't lone rangers. We weren't stuck out there. We learned authority. We learned to submit. We learned that there was a flow of God's Spirit through the body of Christ. We learned to lay hands on one another because we knew that as we read through the book of Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit was transmitted by the laying on of hands. So I know it's time of, you know, for COVID, but when you come in here on a Sunday, guess what we're going to do under normal circumstances? We are going to shake your hand. We're going to hug you by the neck. Because we know that there's a love and there's a power that flows through the Spirit of the living God. And I need it as much as you need it. Because God has built us to be that way. So, the things that I've dealt with there really make a case for closer relationship, don't they? And again, I don't want you to just be thinking on in the context of marriage, because seriously, folks, the love that we express in marriage, if it's not the covenant love, okay, there's some other loves, and I don't have time to go into every Greek word, but just understand that that covenant love is a close bond. We are actually covenanted together in such a special way. I hate to tell you this, and don't make use of it, but everything that I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. But not in a legalistic way. In a way that if you love me in covenant love, I can be like that neighbor that Jesus spoke about that went to his neighbor's house at like 3 a.m. and said, "Hey, dude, I knock, 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 knock," you know. And in those days, of course, they didn't each have their own bedroom. You know, you had the neighbor. He was in bed, and it was a little like the old pioneering days. There was one bed, and there were 10 in the bed. And the little one said, you know, "Roll over," right? But that was literally what it was like. So you can imagine this guy arriving at 3 o'clock in the morning, and this, but the household's kind of awake. "Who dat? What's going on? Daddy, who's that? Is it a burglar?" You know, the normal thing that you hear. Well, he now has to get up and make his way to the front door. And I mean, he's stepping over bodies. "Ooh, that's my arm." And so he makes his way to the front door. But this neighbor needed a little bread because he had people who arrived at night. Now, that's the kind of thing that Jesus is saying. We will go out of our way to help one another. I can't tell you the number of meals that we had at a time when Louise and I were going through some troublesome times with the birth of our son. That we could write a book about the grace of God on that whole thing, because I will tell you at the end, the doctor who was treating this whole situation, the 9 months of pregnancy, he said, "Graham," he said, "I wasn't sure if I would get your child and the mother through to 9 months. There was a great expectation that one or the other was not going to make it." Folks, you know how that touching that is to the heart of a father who is the one who protects, Man, I had to rise up in the faith that I didn't have at that time. The story of Gideon was so special to me because I was the least of the least. Okay, I was the baby of the family. I was the little guy, you know, that nobody bothered about. I discovered that if you got a sense of humor and you made a lot of jokes, you get a lot of attention. That was me. Unfortunately, I took it to class. And so at school, I was always the guy that got kicked out. Teacher, as he came into the class, his first words were, "Dearie, get out." And I did, because I knew I couldn't control my mouth, and I was going to think of something funny to say. Because guess what? It was all about me. I got attention. I was the youngest in my family. Nobody, I wouldn't say they wouldn't care, but nobody paid attention to me, so I was going to get attention. Okay, so suffice that to say, God was working with us tremendously. We had to have tremendous faith. Even our son's name was given to us by the Lord. I was going out of the bedroom. Louise was sitting with a whole pile of books, okay, children's names. The book was 5,556 children's names. And I'll tell you what, as soon as she mentioned a name, I thought of a friend of mine that had done me down, or I didn't like how he turned out in life, or I didn't like his wife, or whatever. Nah. As I was going out of the door, Louise said, "What are we going to do? We've got to give this person a name." In fact, we didn't even know in those days, the olden days, right? We didn't even know the sex of the child. We had no way of knowing. We didn't really want to know. It was always a big surprise. But as I was leaving the bedroom, Louise was sitting in bed. She had really had to have a lot of bed rest. God said, "His name will be Paul." I said to Louise, "His name will be Paul. God just told me." And she said, "Well, what if it's a girl?" It's a woman of faith, right? "What if it's a girl?" I said, "Paula, Pauline." Maybe I misheard the end of it. But there he is. Not right here, but you'll see him next week. His name is Paul. He came out of a difficult, difficult pregnancy. The devil was working against the whole birth of that child. I can tell you that right now. But I had a stronger plan. God was working for him. God anointed him. God touched him in his mother's womb. God protected him despite the fragile vessel that Louise was at that time, and she'll tell you that. God had his hand on that child and brought him forth. And I'll tell you what, as with all of you, God had a plan for his life. God has a plan for your life as well. Praise God. So, folks, I hope that I'm bringing this across to you, that it is better to do this together than to do it separately. I'm going to encourage you through these words, and I'm going to share with you what I propose the body of Christ looked like at that time. Do you know we're always looking for something genuine? Where can I go back to the original, like, Model T Ford? You know, that becomes so precious. And your original Harley Davidson, where Harley and Davidson invented this motorbike, and it is just no cheers. Okay, guys, you're looking at each other, I understand. Yeah, okay. But Harley and Davidson got together and invented this motorcycle. I'll tell you a little story. Another one. In Cape Town, our state police really were what we call traffic cops, okay? They rode 1,000cc Harley-Davidson motorbikes. They were about a mile long. Well, I was younger then, but they were certainly big dudes. I mean, big saddle, and it was this size. And man, they were cool. Shades, nice cap. And they would chase you anywhere and catch you speeding. I heard the story about one unfortunate person who got caught. The cop walked up to the car, said, "Sir, I'd like to see your license, please." While he's taking out his license, this dude, like, takes off his shades, you know, just pulls his cap down a little bit. So cool. Reaches into his pocket. In those days, you didn't have a computer. Believe it or not, He took out his pocketbook in which he wrote up the citations. And as the guy brought his license out, the state policeman had his pen poised. And this guy must have been like me, because he said to the cop, "I'll have a hamburger and two Pepsis, please." Okay? That was the end of him. You might not remember it, but we had drive-in restaurants at that time, and the guy would come to your window. Maybe not a smart thing to say. But folks, I don't want to lose track here. There's so many interesting things that have gone on in our lives. I want to say to you, we're always looking to the original. I have spent the last 2 or 3 years working in small groups and sharing on the early church. Don't you think, as a people, we need to keep our eyes on the early church? We need to keep a focus on how, when the Holy Spirit was originally poured out upon the people at that time, how did that look? How did they behave? Did they run off and build churches? Actually, no, Jesus didn't tell them to build churches. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. In small groups, we can make disciples. We are disciples of Christ. We are not churchgoers, okay? We might go to church on a Sunday, but that's part of your discipleship process. And please, please keep coming back. And those of you online, please come back. It's safe. We're fine. You can come back if you are able to, under CDC rules for your life. But we need to be together, and we need to understand what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a people together, and he wants us to be disciples. Do you know that it was many years after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that in Antioch, they were first called. Okay, they didn't name themselves. People looked at their lives and said, "You are a little Christ. You, Christian." That's when they were first called Christians. Now, I'll tell you something interesting. Christ was not Jesus' last name. He wasn't of the family of Christ. He wasn't Jesus and Mr. and Mrs. Christ were his mom and dad. No, he was Christ because he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ means anointed one, the one that is Messiah, HaMashiach, as the Jews are waiting for their Messiah. But the Messiah was the one anointed of God. So when they looked at the people who were disciples of Jesus, and they didn't call them Jesians, they called them Christians, little Christs, people filled with the Spirit of God, imparting strength, imparting wisdom. Being Jesus by the Spirit of Jesus, not relying on their own strength, not relying on the seminary, their studies, the Bible college, or anything else, but relying on the Spirit of God to bring them into the glory of God and to glorify God. And so it is with us. So in closing, and you love to hear those words, don't you? Except my closing has 5 sub-points, okay? No, just kidding. We'll be out of here in a second. Tell your neighbor I said that. Don't wake him. All right, I'm just going to go to the book of Acts and I'll share this with you. I'm sure you've all read this at one time, but in light of what I have said, let us just let this sink in. Because, folks, it's hard. I will tell you, in America, I counseled for many years. The person that I stood really sorry for was the strong character. Because we teach our people to be strong in themselves. I mean, we frown on weakness, right? I mean, we play football. Right, we play basketball. We play those games. We expect everybody. We have women's soccer. We have men's soccer. We have everybody's expected to get out there and suck it up. Okay? If you've learned to be like that, you're going to face problems. Because if there's one thing that the devil and God have in common, they're both trying to kill you. God is trying to destroy your strong-willed character. The devil's trying to physically kill you. If you didn't know that, you better get wise, okay? He's trying to bring spiritual death on you as well. But God is wanting you to be more like him. He doesn't want you to be more like you. And so he's wanting to build character. No better place than in small groups. But listen to this. Holy Spirit had just been poured out. In verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. You hear that? And to the fellowship. They hung together. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the good things of life. Wow. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together. You hear that? Not Lone Rangers. They were together and had everything in common. Why? Because they were all disciples of Jesus, that there was one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, one God, to the glory of God. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So they went to church. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why were they being saved? Because they saw the lives of those who had been filled with the Spirit of God and were living the life of a Christian disciple. Do you see that? It's so easy, folks. I'll finish with this. We use video to go to some of the great cities around the Mediterranean. Ephesus, Athens, even Rome. And the man in the video who was teaching about the spread of Christianity. We saw temples that were fantastic. They no longer stood. All we saw were the ruins of the false gods that they worshipped. They had strong civilizations, strong culture, wonderful buildings, glorious worship and praise of foreign false gods. They are all destroyed by humble people who simply lived the life of Christ. In small groups, folks, in small groups and met house to house. So I want to encourage you, we have small groups. It's part of our vision. There's a sign-up table at the back. Don't be discouraged from signing up. Don't feel like nobody will know your name. They'll get to know your name soon. Don't feel like you're going to have to pray. Don't feel like you're going to have to do anything. Just show up and hang. That's basically, come and learn, and you'll find you've got a lot to share with us too. And we're looking forward to seeing you all in small groups. Let's pray. And Father, today as we come together, we just thank you for your word. Write it on our hearts, Lord. May we just be those who walk simply following the love of Christ, those that you have filled with the power of your Spirit, Lord, to do the works of ministry to which you have appointed us, because you have appointed the saints to do the work of ministry. And we know that evangelism spread by simple deeds, simple words. So, Father, help us to simplify our lives, we pray today. And I just pray for this wonderful Labor Day weekend, Lord, as we go, we may be enriched, we may be a blessing to others, we may enjoy the fruits of our labor. We thank you for this nation too, again, Lord, that we have such glorious freedom, and at this time we are able to spread the word that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we thank you for that. And as we go, Father, I just pray your blessing upon your people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.